yesterday we began our discussion of text 6, Trishtaya Sabhava Janitaya Vapushastra Doshaya Na Prakritatvam Iha Bhakta Janasya Pashyet Gangam Pasam Na Kalu Bhudbhuda Pena Pankaya Brahma Dravatvam Apagachtati Niradhama. So we discussed that a devotee should be seen from the transcendental point of view and not in terms of material bodily considerations, including considerations of the subtle body. If he's old or harsh, that's not to be taken as very important. The real thing is to see how this person is engaged in the service of the Lord, preaching the glories of the Lord. We discussed the point that even if the devotee commits some mistake, even if he does something very much against the principles of proper behavior, still he should be considered a saintly person if he's unflinchingly dedicated to Krishna. We discussed the case of a spiritual master, a person accepted as a spiritual master who deviates from the path of Krishna consciousness, and we discussed how he should be accepted and under what considerations he should be rejected. Not enough chairs? What's happening here? A chair shortage? But at least don't sit on the cold ground, you'll get sick. And who put my charter on the Vedanga? It's on the table. Now is it Pradumna who's sitting on the cold ground? There's one chair.
Looking for in the room.
Oh, in the other room?
Yeah, there's
one. There's a chair go down. Where, in this room right behind you?
Yeah.
You want to pull a couple chairs out there? Okay, we've got lots of chairs. Maybe some people need to move up a little bit so that we have space for to bring the members closer to one another.
Now we can listen better.
Discuss the circumstances under which a spiritual master should be followed and under what circumstances he may be rejected. The summary is that one should continue to respect a devotee who remains adherent to the service of Krishna, and one should overlook or be patient with some accidental fall down or some superficial discrepancy. The Padma Purana also confirms the or condemns the materialistic way of looking at a devotee. Arche Vishno Shila Tir Gurusha Naramati Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. You've probably heard that quoted many times. Vishnur Navaishnavanam Kalimalamatane Pada Tirtain Tirtain Bhuti. Sri Vishnur Namni Mantre Sakala Kalusha He Shapta Samanya Bhutir. Vishno Sarveshwaresh She Taditra Samadhir Yasya Vadargisa. If someone thinks that the deity in the temple is made of wood or stone, or if he thinks of the spiritual master as an ordinary human being, or thinks of the Vaishnava as being a member of a certain caste or creed or community, or he thinks of the Charanamrita or Ganges water as being ordinary water, or thinks of the holy name as being an ordinary vibration, then Narakisa, he's taken to be a resident of hell. His consciousness is hell. One shouldn't see with that sort of vision. Mundane vision. Now, Ganges is just water. And look, it's got foam in it, bubbles in it, stool in it, dead bodies I've even seen. How can you say it's pure? One has to see from the spiritual point of view. Oh, the deity is just a statue. No, one has to see from the point of view of spiritual enlightenment. Similarly, the guru or the Vaishnava has to be seen with spiritual vision. The example given that you take an iron rod and you put it in the fire, it becomes, Prabhupada said, you may say it's iron, but I say touch it. It's fire. By association with the fire. Prabhupada has some discussion of this Goswami title and says it's not that just because you're born in a family of Goswamis that makes you actually a Goswami in the true sense of the term. But on the other hand, it's not that one should be puffed up because he's been awarded the Goswami title and deride those who have the Goswami name. Everyone should be humble. And nirmatsaranam satam, there should be no room for jealousy. There should be no room for jealousy. All in all, one should be very careful about Vaishnava aparadhas. The Vaishnava aparadha is the mad elephant offense. Yadi Vaishnava aparadha ute hatimata upadeva chindi tar shuki yayata. If a devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava while cultivating the creeper of devotional service, his offense is compared to a male mad elephant that uproots the creeper, breaks it, and everything is finished. Lakshmi was our Padayatri elephant. She was much more frisky than Gulab here. Gulab just sways her trunk a little bit. But if you ever see an elephant digging up a garden, elephants are tremendously strong. Ever have an elephant grab you by the trunk? They are strong. That trunk is powerful. So you don't want to have your carefully cultivated garden smashed by a mad. And even human beings, when they're mad, when they go crazy, they're extra strong, right? You have like five guys jumping on someone to try to hold them down. So a mad elephant, just imagine. So this is what the comparison is. This is what a Vaishnava aparadha is to your devotional service. A mad elephant. Krishna may tolerate, or a devotee may tolerate an offense, but Krishna doesn't. And the example given is that you may tolerate the sun on your head, but it's very hard to tolerate the sun on your feet, you know, if there's hot sand at your feet, that's intolerable. Bhakta svabhav agyadosh kshama kore. Krishna svabhav bhakta ninda sahite na pore. A characteristic of a pure devotee is that he excuses any offense by an ignorant rascal. But a characteristic of Krishna is that he can't tolerate blasphemy of his devotees. To offend a Vaishnava is the worst offense against the holy name. Satam ninda namna paramam aparadam ditante yatakyatim yatam katam usahate tad vigarna. To blaspheme a preacher of the holy name is the worst offense. One should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the holy name. If one does so, he's an offender. And the Nam Prabhu, Krishna himself, never tolerates such offenses. In Sati told Daksha, Shersham Mahapurushapada Pamsuhir, Nirastate Jasu Tadeva Shobana. Those who envy exalted saints are certainly diminished by the dust of their lotus feet. You want to get the mercy of the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, bathe in the dust of their lotus feet. But if you offend a devotee, then you're diminished by the dust of their feet. If one commits Vaishnava aparads, this is fourth canto, purport, all of his progress in devotional service will be checked. Even though one is very much advanced in devotional service, if he commits offenses at the feet of a Vaishnava, his advancement is all spoiled. Sixth canto, when a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Is that clear? If you're looking to how to destroy your devotional service, this is the method. Harinam Chintamani Bhaktivinoda Thakur. An offender against a sadhu is one who criticizes a Vaishnava about his caste, some unpremeditated accidental fall down, the last traces of his previous sins, or his sinful activities prior to his surrendering to Lord Krishna. This offender will never develop a taste for chanting the holy name. One who has taken complete shelter of the pure devotional process is considered a pure Vaishnava. He's taken shelter of the process. The four above mentioned faults may be present in him, but he is totally free from all the other shortcomings. So criticizing him spells doom for the offender. Lord Krishna does not tolerate any criticism of the devotee who is spreading the holy name. And we discussed in the Nectar of Devotion, as attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, it can be extinguished by offenses committed at their lotus feet. Prabhupada therefore says, a pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. Okay, if we have a general critical tendency, we'll criticize, and you know, okay, he's a Vaishnava, but we criticize. You know, we criticize anything in sight, and if a Vaishnava happens to come in sight, we'll criticize him. We should be careful. It said, it was mentioned I think the other day in class, that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he never cared to hear blasphemy of a Vaishnava. Even when there were points to be criticized, he used to say, all the Vaishnavas were engaged in the service of the Lord, so he didn't mind their faults. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. The most grievous form of Vaishnava aparad is Guru aparad. If you blaspheme the spiritual master, it's a double nam aparad, Sadhu Ninda and Guru Abhagya at the same time. Let's quickly knock off some examples. Who's scribed today? Who's writing?
Writing,
okay. Let's get some classic Vaishnava aparadi examples. Like, one is Ambarish Maharaj against Durvasa. Some others? Ramchandra Khan and Haridas Thakur. Yes. Jagai and Madhai gets Lord Nityananda.
Yivananda Pandit and Shivasa.
Who Pandit?
Yivananda Pandit and Shivasa. Shivas Thakur.
Shivas Thakur?
Devananda
Pandit, right. Devananda Pandit and Shivas Thakur. Oh, you gotta be quick. You missed one. Who was it? Durvasa, Ramchandra, Jagai and Madhai against Nityananda. Who else? Yes.
Ramchandra Puri.
Oh, against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. Who else?
Hiranyakashipu.
Who? Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, Hiranyakashipu against Prahlad.
Yeah.
Sringi against Prakrit Maharaj. Who else? Daksha against Shiva. Who else?
Towards the end of the Prabhupada, it sounds like Prabhupada felt offended by his girlfriends.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. God brothers against Prabhupada. Yes.
Vena, King Vena, offended the Brahmins.
Vena against the Brahmanas. Yes?
Daksha against Narada.
Daksha against Narada. Others?
I agree with Narada against Narada.
Yeah?
Sons of Kuvera against Narada? Yes?
I don't know if we can also accept here Indra defended Krishna.
No, not Krishna. Krishna's another story. That's Krishna, not Vaishnava.
Indra defended
Shakti.
Huh?
Oh, he defended Bihaspati. Okay. Yep.
Mr. Nair, Ben Robert.
Yeah, Mr. Nair against Prabhupada. Who else?
Sobhari Muni against Garuda.
Sobhari against Garuda.
Jai Vijay against the Kumaras.
Jai Vijay against the Kumaras. Some others?
Could we have Chand Kaji?
Chand Kaji against all the Vaishnavas. We need to start a second sheet. There's lots of Vaishnava aparadis in the world. Yes?
Dushasana
against Draupadi. For that matter, all the Kauravas against the Pandavas. Just walk over, yeah.
Five.
Some others? There are more. Yes? No, that's not Vaishnava Pura, that's Vishnava Pura. Yeah, I guess. What else?
Gopala Chapala against
Yeah, Gopala Chapala against Haridas Thakur. And another Gopal? There's a Gopal Chakravarti who insulted Haridas Thakur. Any others while we're at it?
The Kurus and the Pandavas?
Yeah, Kurus against the Pandavas. Guru Maharaj is Suruchi.
Huh?
Aurangzeb, yeah. Sachidevi against the Dvaita Charja. Chitraketu against Lord Shiva. Lots of aparads going on here. Durvasa had to travel all over the universe. This Ramchandra Khan was totally ruined. Devananda Pandit had to go through some chastisement by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagai and Madhai, of course, got forgiven, but otherwise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to kill them. Ramchandra Puri actually offended his spiritual master, first of all. And then he became totally useless. Hiranyakashipu got disemboweled among everyone. Sringi got let off. Special case. Daksha got his whole yajna destroyed, lost his head in the process. Big disaster. We won't say anything about Sri Prabhupada's
father. I guess he forgave them, right?
At the end. Mm-hmm. Dena, killed by the Brahmins. Daksha, had to be Daksha. Sons of Kuvera, of course, were simultaneously cursed and blessed. Indra lost his throne. Mr. Nair lost his life. Sobari Muni became a householder. Things get really bad. Not so bad for Jai and Vijay, they only fell down from the spiritual world. And so on. You can see that the consequences of offending the Vaishnava are severe. We should very carefully note it. This Ramchandra Khan, for his fault, the entire village was wiped out. Yes?
With the offense against Draupadi, was it that the whole battle of Kurukshetra? The one reason why it took place?
Yeah, definitely. Very serious business. The Brahmins were offended by the sons of the Yadu dynasty, and their whole dynasty got wiped out. So, therefore, Prabhupada summarizes, one should therefore be very careful not to commit any offense against a Vaishnava. Every devotee should be ready to take instructions from a superior Vaishnava, and a superior Vaishnava must be ready to help an inferior Vaishnava in all respects. And what is superior or inferior according to his spiritual development in Krishna consciousness? We talked about that yesterday, or the day before, was it yesterday, I think, by seniority. One's seniority is by age or by experience or position or spiritual advancement. Jagadananda Pandit advised Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is this boy? Where did he get the nerve to advise Sanatana Goswami? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't approve. It's not that a junior Vaishnava is in the position. Now, you know, the internet, everybody's equal. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't approve. The devotee should be ready to take instructions from a superior body. Not that, therefore, Prabhupada says one is. One can distinguish between. Everyone should therefore be careful not to be jealous of an empowered Vaishnava, Shuddha Vaishnava. It's an offense to consider an empowered Vaishnava an object of disciplinary action, to try to give him advice or correct him. And one can distinguish between a neophyte and advanced Vaishnava by their activities. The advanced Vaishnava is always situated as the spiritual master, the neophyte as his disciple. Spiritual master must not be subjected to the advice of a disciple, nor should a spiritual master be obliged to take instructions from those who are not his disciples. That's the sum and substance of this verse. It's Prabhupada speaking from his personal realization and experience. Yes?
It's very difficult to understand when one has offended the Vaishnava, because the Vaishnava doesn't take any offense.
Therefore you should know. It's not difficult to understand what Vaishnava Apurana is. There's lots of illustrations. Lots of instructions given to us. We should be careful.
I'm thinking that one area that this kind of the movement needs to focus on is when a temple president generally needs his office. The general trend in our movement, you know, is that there's some controversy around it. And in that situation, whole community is like talking about, you know, the situation. And there's so much of opportunity there to make more.
Lots of when someone needs office, when someone comes into office, when someone's been in his office for 2 weeks. You know, when it's daytime, when it's nighttime, you know, everything is an opportunity for criticizing other Vaishnavas once we acquire the habit. And it's a habit of the conditioned soul. Therefore, this is particularly pointed out in the previous verse. Nindari shunya vidam ipsita sangha labhya. Anya nindari shunya vidam. Now, whose association do we want? A person whose heart is devoid of this tendency to criticize others. It's such an ingrained tendency because the mentality is that we want to be big. So there are two ways to become big. You can become big by, you know, blowing yourself up, or you can become big by knocking others down. If everybody else goes down, then you must be up. And of course it's all on the mental platform. You're nothing to begin with of any great importance. But by mental concoction, if someone else can be minimized, then you must be coming up in the world. Prabhupada gave an example of envy. There's some story that there was some two lawyers talking, and one said to you, "Did you hear that Chakrabarti has been posted as high court judge?" And the other one says, "No, not him." Not like, "No, it's true." "No, that guy?" "Yes, it's true. I've seen him. He's sitting on the bench." "Well, then he must not be getting paid." So this is envy.
I'm afraid that in his court, that tendency of not criticizing others goes to conformism. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned that criticizing with proper attitude inspires
criticism. Criticizing with proper attitude is pious activity. It's not just attitude, it's adhikar. There is no proper attitude if you don't have the adhikar. If you're not the right person, you know, just like Prabhupada's, he's blasted one disciple, that the disciple said, how could Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur have so many disciples who are rascals? You know, because Prabhupada was always saying they're rascals, they're this, you're probably beating them like anything. So this devotee, to, you know, like fit in with Prabhupada's mood, said that. Prabhupada looked at him. You have said the wrong thing. And Prabhupada blasted him and said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never had any disciples who were rascals. He said, I can call them rascals, but you cannot. So it's not just, you know, there is no attitude that's proper if you don't have the adhikar, if it's not your position to be critical. Now we may see something that's wrong. That's another thing. And we may sometimes have to act on that. But this tendency to criticize, it's really a bad disease, and it can spoil your whole devotional service. Okay, we don't really have time, but let's do it. We're going to do a drama. Who wants to be in the drama? We've got room for one, two, three. Oh, I've got lots of people to be in this club. One, two, three, four, six people. Volunteers. Okay, you're the first volunteer. You're the second volunteer. You're the third volunteer. Who else do I want to have as a volunteer? Okay. I got three. You're four. Yeah, you can be four. Pradumna, you can be five. Who wants to be the last now that you've got lots of good company? Okay. You're like the star of a previous drama. Okay, here's the situation. I'm setting the scene for this drama. There are some devotees, and they're sitting, and they're talking about one devotee, Ramdas, and the criteria for this drama should be very realistic, not parodies, not jokes, not overplaying. Really play your parts very, you know, as it is. This drama lasts about 10 minutes, maybe, something like that. Okay, come forward and take your parts. And the place for the drama is a sitting drama. You can have seats in the middle. Make space in the middle for a circle of maybe six seats, and everyone else can surround you.
From the hat.
I'm just going to let's see. I'm going to change blind.
It's not carefully chosen as a part.
Okay, here you go. Okay, here you go. Here you go. I'm not even going to look anymore.
I'm sitting on the floor, right?
Oh, you can sit in your chairs. And the person who's the chief, I need a pen, I think, too. Who's lending me a pen? The person who's marked as the chief can start off, and others can contribute according to their parts. Let's keep a snappy little discussion going here among devotees. They're meeting in the temple premises somewhere and discussing the way things are. Everyone clear about what their part is?
The target is Ramda.
That's the topic.
Okay. So the
Sanjay is come from Gandhi family, and that's why he's doing well in practicing.
Loud, loud. Everyone's got to be loud.
It's because of the access, you know. Because of his wealth, his parents are doctors, and because of these things, he's able to serve in the Bhakti ministry. And, you know, he always comes late to the class. You know, I think that, you know, he's some big devotee.
He was there this morning.
No,
he had a very nice
year. Sure.
observations here?
interesting how they were making a sense of theory, just like describing what was actually going on. That's one way for the reasons.
That's the way, one way to keep it going, you know. We're not, you know, it's not a question of, you know, anything we have against anyone. That someone began offending that way, that's a typical way to open up offenses. So, you know, I don't want to criticize anyone personally, but, you know, I mean, it's not a question of anyone's personal character or anything like that. It's not that we have anything against anyone or anything like that, but...
If
we're just talking about reality here, we're just talking about the way the world is. This guy's a bum, this guy's a creep, this one's insincere, this one's this one's that, just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just constructive criticism, you know, that's what we do out here while we do the laundry or whatever it is.
Okay, he's very nice devotee, but...
Nice devotee, but... Okay, yes?
Nowadays we cannot be lonely, you know, like, it's not everything happy hippo world, you know. We have to look, you know, what's really going on.
We have to see, we have to have our eyes open, we have to see everything, you know, as it is, da-da-da-da-da.
There's also a tendency to separate management from... When you discuss management, offense is almost kind of like doable,
yeah, when you get into management you can start bad-mouthing everyone, or when you're speaking against the management you can start bad-mouthing, either way, either side of the management, if you are the management or if you're among the managed or the anti-management, you know, all what do they say, all deals are off. You've got a free field here. Now managers should be careful. Those who have managers should be careful. Of course, managers have to. It's their duty. They have to have both eyes open. They have to be alert for things that are not to the standard. It's not that they should just be seeing the good qualities in everyone and missing serious, you know, things. But they should be careful. There's some story that some disciples came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur complaining that someone was taking money, and some manager was taking money, and he criticized him. You're simply concerned about the money, you have no concern about his spiritual life. So we should be careful. Management certainly presents an opportunity. Yes, anything else?
Mm-hmm. Husband and wife.
Yeah, husband and wife. I don't say anything about husband and wife. There is Adhikar. The spiritual master is entitled to find the faults of his disciples. It's his duty. The father is obliged to find the faults in the son. Prabhupada, you know, you have no brain, you have cow dung for brain, you're a fool, you know. That's his duty. Husbands, I'm not saying anything about. Yes?
What about this proverb that they should use, Christ used that they should judge the thing, not the sin?
Yeah, we see that. We may see that the person is, you know, person is a Vaishnava, but there's some problem. And it's not because he's an evil person, but somehow or other there's some problem. Due to the actions of the material energy, due to association, due to this or that, some problem is there. These things happen. But when we take especially an animus against the Vaishnava, take an envious or nasty mentality toward the Vaishnava, that's very bad. Better that we should see, oh, this person's had a problem, Maya is so strong, rather than this person's such a rat. What do you expect? Maya is strong. Anyone, best person, may have some problem. Even Lord Brahma has problems. We should be careful. Note also from this interaction how easy it is There were a couple of people there on the right who were not very happy. One person who was not very happy with all of this, but he's sitting there, you know, because these are his friends, and you know, it's impolite to get up, and you know, it's just maybe it's not quite so bad yet, but he's sitting there and he's listening to Vaishnava Paras. So our guy who stomped out didn't make a bad move, except maybe to come back.
I wanted to make him realize it.
Yeah, he's good. Hadn't given up on them. Merciful. Yes.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "One who criticizes me is my friend. One who praises me is my enemy."
That's all right from if you're the object of criticism. But not if you're the giver. Listen, I'm his friend. That's why I'm, you know, I'm the friend of all the Vaishnavas. Like Ram Chappapuri. Yes.
But it is also said that intelligent ruler will have like advice. Will have such a kind of advisor who will.
If you're paid for that, that's different. Like the kings, they would keep a fool. In Shakespeare, you usually find King Lear's fool and so on. And their job is to subtly or not so subtly lambast the king. He's got to be careful too, because sometimes the king may no longer be in a joking mood. But his part of his job is to, you know, poke a hole in the king's balloon. So if you're hired to do that, just like a wrestler, the wrestler is hired by the king to fight with the king. But if you didn't, if you're not getting paid to do this, watch out. Watch out. Just like Prabhupada, sometimes he would want someone to take the role of the Mayavadi and argue. So then it's all right. If Prabhupada wants you to argue with him, then that's, but even then, sometimes someone would overstep the line, and then probably, you know, then it wasn't a play anymore. All of a sudden, Prabhupada would be on him. Okay, we're moving on. Yes, yes.
How can the instruction understand the statement that according to this is not criticism?
What's that?
Calling a thief is not criticizing.
Calling a thief is not criticizing. Yeah, but a Vaishnava is not a thief. A Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. You should be very careful when calling a thief a thief, if the thief is a Vaishnava. You know, he's also an American, he's also, you know, a loudmouth, he's also, all these things may be true, but he's a Vaishnava. And, you know, are you getting paid to call a thief? Is someone giving you that prescribed duty? Are you the person whose job it is to tell it like it is about everyone? Huh? Is that your duty to tell the objectively verifiable faults in everyone else? It may be true. That's what it said about Gopal Bhatti. Even if it was true, he didn't want to hear it. We should be reluctant. We may sometimes have to hear something. It may be our duty that reluctantly we have to say, this person, there's someone hanging around here who's a drug dealer at the moment. One of our Vaishnavas. Whoever it is. So, you know, the management has to be aware that this person's here, that means he's going to be pushing drugs. Quite likely. That's unfortunate. It's not that we have to close our eyes and say, but he's a Vaishnava. It happens to be objectively true, and someone has to be on top of these things. Not that we just, you know, tiptoe through the tulips and everything's, you know. But this tendency, this habit, you know, I've got some free time, let me criticize. That's all this group was doing, you know, they had some free time. And instead of reading Srimad Bhagavatam or chanting Hare Krishna, or hey, I have 10 minutes, I could chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It takes 7 minutes to chant Upadesha Amrita, I could do that. Hey, we've got some time, let's
Let's talk. And what's the subject matter? The faults of the Vaishnavas. We should be very careful about that. In the material world, it's practically a virtue. Critics are highly esteemed. You know, the more vicious they are, you know, those television shows where they invite you on your show and the first thing is, you know, to beat the hell out of your guests. I was on such a radio show with I was a brahmacharya at the time, one of my sannyasi godbrothers. The opening line from the host after he welcomed us and said, "Your Holiness, what exactly is it that makes you so holy?" No, so in the material world, you know, you can see the audience, they're all you can see a radio audience in your mind, they're all thinking, yeah. But you're not getting spiritual brownie points for criticizing the Vajra.
What did your Bhagavad's friend reply? What did your Bhagavad's friend reply?
He wasn't very well equipped for replying, actually. The guy was smart. But we got him, actually, on the advice of one of our godbrothers who phoned us up in the break. Because it's easier when you're one guy and you've got five people you're talking to. Because as soon as one guy starts to come back at you, you switch and start talking to the other guy. So he had the advantage. Actually, when you're five against one, the one has the advantage, especially when he's the host. So on the advice of one of our godbrothers, Tosan Krishna Prabhu, who called up during the break, we walked out on the guy. It was one of those shows, you know, 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, as we were leaving, it was a spooky skyscraper building. You know, nothing's there except this one guy sitting in a room on floor 62 or something. And as we were leaving, we were hearing him talking on the monitor. "For only the second time in my career, my guests have walked out on me." And you know, the guy had like an hour and a half to fill by himself. Wasn't a bad move. Yes.
What is the proper etiquette to act in such a moment when you see that there is some problematic situation?
Proper etiquette in problematic situations? Could you be more specific?
For example, when there are things which are intolerable and so on, and you get to do something in order not to commit.
Well, you have to see. Sometimes you just tolerate. Maybe intolerable, but you tolerate. Sometimes it may be intolerable, and you have to say something to the authority. There, you know, to start going through all the scenarios of what you do when there are intolerable situations. And sometimes you move yourself out of these situations. Okay, it's an intolerable situation, I'm out of here. Sometimes you say it's intolerable, but I'll tolerate it. Sometimes you try to bring about a change. You go to some person in authority and say, you know, could you speak to such and such? You know, he's a wonderful devotee, but this is the problem. There are different things that you can do. But we should be careful. Even when necessarily we have to do something, we should be careful. Can we go on because of time? Those who don't want to spend Saturday with me? Okay. Text 7. Syat Krishna nama charitari sitapya vidya pitto patapta rasanasya nirojikanu kintvararad anudinam kalu saiva drishta svadvi kramad pavatitad garamula hantri. Very important verse. Diseased, we're more interested in gratifying our senses than serving Krishna. But by carefully chanting Hare Krishna and glorifying Krishna every day, we gradually become cured of this jaundice and taste the sweetness of devotional service. This is what we're supposed to be doing instead of blaspheming Vaishnavas, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna. This is the disease, jaundice. Anyone ever had jaundice here? Okay, one man. You, what's it like as far as your taste goes?
Yeah, you don't actually, you don't feel anything. And practically, yeah, it's written. If you can realize actually what is written in the translation, the only way actually to understand.
Yeah, the only way.
Otherwise, you don't have, you know.
There's like no taste for eating anything. What?
Yeah, it's just
there's just like
vomiting sensation always.
Yeah, vomiting sensation, and just like look at food and it's like a, like looking at, you know, a piece of iron or something. There's just like no taste. Sweet taste, even sweet taste bitter. It's a disease of the liver, jaundice. So this is the comparison given by Srila Rupa Goswami, that we have jaundice. Why do we have no taste? Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Abhinata Nama Namino Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitana Rasavidya. Lord, this, the form of all transcendental bliss, knowledge, everything. And we're not interested because we have this disease. By material association, we have this disease since time immemorial, that we would rather do anything else than glorify Krishna. We just don't have that much taste. That's described in several places. This is Sanat Kumar to King Prithu. Indriyar Vishya Krishtayar Akshiptam Jayatam Anaha Chaitanam Hadate Bhutte Stambas Toyam Iva Pradat. When one's mind and senses are attracted to sense objects for enjoyment, the mind becomes agitated. As a result of continually thinking of sense objects, one's real consciousness becomes almost lost, like the water in a lake that is gradually sucked up by the big grass straws on its bank. Brasyat janu smritis chittam gyana brahmsa smriti kshaye tad rodham kavaya prahur atmapa navam atmana. When one deviates from one's original consciousness, one can no longer remember his previous position or recognize his present one. When remembrance is lost, all knowledge acquired is based on a false foundation. And scholars say that the soul is lost. Then, Nata paritaro loke pumsa swarta vitikramaha yadhyanyasya prayaspam atmana sva vitikramaha. There's no stronger obstruction to one's self-interest than? Yes, than considering other subject matters more pleasing than one's self-realization. The biggest obstruction. Something else is more interesting, more pleasing than self-realization. So this ignorance, this attachment to illusion, perverts our ability to relish Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes. Following blind leaders makes it worse. And the only cure is chanting the holy name with great care and attention. What does great care and attention mean? Yes? Means avoiding 10 kinds of offenses. That's what great care and attention means, especially. Prabhupada says when a neophyte takes to the chanting, he generally commits many offenses. There are 10 basic offenses, and if the devotee avoids these, he can glimpse the next stage, which is situated between offensive chanting and pure chanting. When one attains the pure stage, he's immediately liberated. This is called Bhavamahadavagni Nirvapana. As soon as one's liberated
from the blazing fire of material existence, he can relish the taste of transcendental life. Three stages here. The offensive stage is the initial stage of chanting. And by chanting, even though offensively he's chanting and he's trying to avoid the offenses, he comes to the clearing stage. And when his offenses are finally cleared, he comes to the pure stage of chanting. And at the pure stage of chanting, he can actually relish. Srila Rupa Goswami says that what is that verse? Anyway, Rupa Goswami says that when I chant Hare Krishna, I wish I had thousands of tongues and thousands of ears, then I could chant the holy name. That's the stage of taste. Now we're in the stage where okay, eight down, eight to go. Gaura Govinda Maharaj made a very good observation one time. He said that we're chanting, and while chanting, we're feeling like this. You know, we're extending this finger. Everyone recognizes that? Yeah, we're looking for the head bead. You know, how many beads to go? Is it over yet? Now that's our unfortunate condition, that we're associating with Krishna in the form of his holy name, and we're wondering when is it going to be over. In the gopis, they're associating with Krishna and they're feeling separation even in his company, that he might leave us. They're so much concerned, and we're looking forward to the opportunity when we'll part company with the holy name. Now, this is jaundice, big time. This is our disease. And even 16 rounds is, you know, oh man. You know, hearing about Krishna, you know, okay. Is there something else I can, is there a way, something I can justify? You know, do I have some work to do? Am I needed to cut sabji? You know, anything. Not to hear the holy name of Krishna, or not to hear the message of Krishna. It's unfortunate. Dur daiva midrashmi hajani. Okay. Any questions so far? Srila Prabhupada completes his purport. By giving a nice description, following the description of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of the different stages of devotional service. And the beginning is to have some interest. And Prabhupada's emphasizing here that to get free from this disease, the only thing is the chanting. And it must begin with faith. And when faith increases, a person becomes a member of the society. What's becoming a member of society mean? In terms of this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse? Becoming a member of the society means? Sadhusan. Become a member. Associate with the devotees.
We're sending Sankirtan parties, even to the remotest part of the world. People begin coming in touch with them. And then they think it's a good thing. Maybe they even imitate. Gradually they become interested in being initiated. And what is that? He's coming forward for initiation. He's beginning bhajana kriya. He wants to follow the principles. No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And he's chanting 16 rounds a day. What's the result of that? What does that mean? Anartha nivritti. These are the four big anarthas. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. When you pull down those anarthas, what happens to the other anarthas? They start disappearing also. You're chanting Hare Krishna, you're giving up these sinful activities, you're clearing the anarthas. You're chanting Hare Krishna, you're hearing about Krishna. Krishna from within is acting as the well-wishing friend and clearing the heart. So one is coming to that stage, anartha nivritti. Right away, these four, quickly or slowly, these four things, one gives up, and the other things. How do I get free from the offenses? This is anartha nivritti. All of these 10 offenses are anarthas. So we're practicing how to avoid the offenses, how to avoid. That means it's not just chanting mechanically, but there's a purpose. We want to clear these offenses and come to that pure stage, anartha nivritti. When a person's relieved from unwanted things, he becomes fixed in executing his Krishna conscious duties. He becomes attached to such activities and experiences ecstasy in executing devotional service. What's that? Bhava. Thus he becomes freed from material existence, loses interest in the bodily conception of life, including material opulence, material knowledge, material attraction. At such a time, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who He is, and what Maya is. Although Maya may be present, it cannot disturb a devotee once he attains the bhava stage. He's so absorbed in service to Krishna, enthusiasm. Because he can see the real position of Maya. Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna, and forgetfulness of Krishna and Krishna consciousness stand side by side, like light and shadow. If one remains in shadow, he cannot enjoy the facilities offered by light. And if one remains in light, he can't be disturbed by the darkness of shadow. So very nicely Prabhupada explains how, in practical terms of the Krishna consciousness, you read some scholar's translation or commentary, and completely different from what Prabhupada says, from the realized point of view, and from the point of view of a person who actually has the potency to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, instill Krishna consciousness into the hearts of the conditioned souls. Step by step, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you'll come to the highest stage. And it's all very simple. Association, chanting, following some regular principles, and one comes to the highest stage. It may be, Prabhupada said the principle is simple, but the application is difficult. But at least the principle is simple. We just have to do it. Anudinam. Anudinam means day by day, day after day. And the result will be just that you got cured from jaundice. So what's it like as you're going along?
Well, relief, and gradually you feel, the energy and everything is coming back normal.
Yeah. Gradually you start getting relieved of the disease. Starts to lighten up. You start feeling a little strength, a little energy. You feel like eating again, and you feel like eating more. Then you feel like, you're a human being again, like you have a life.
But you have to be careful from the fat, you should not take any butter or oil.
Yeah, if you have, for jaundice patients,
Any kind of oil or ghee, fried things, completely forbidden. Completely forgiven.
This we can compare with apparatus.
Yeah. You can't eat those things. You have to strictly avoid, and you have to take the prescribed things, papaya and sugar cane juice, especially sugar cane, as sugar is the antidote for jaundice. Sugar candy. So this is the thing. Some things avoid, some things take, and by following the process gradually, gradually, then you become happy again, feel life, you feel strength, food tastes where there was no taste before, sweet things taste sweet, and you can relish. And this is the cured position. One has to be careful during the cure not to do things. Oh, now I can eat anything. Now I can do anything. If he strictly follows, gradually, gradually, day by day, comes to the cure. Anything else? I'm so good on time management that you have 12 minutes to ask about anything you'd like.
About unattentively chanting. Does it mean material desires, and they are afflicted by the anarthas?
Material desires are an affliction of anarthas. Yeah, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and I'm, you know, looking at Bhakti and Susi over there. I'm wondering if she'll, you know, she maybe. I have some excuse to talk with her about something. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yeah, this is the problem. And the Kumaras give the example to King Prithu. It's like the canes growing on the side of the lake that are sucking up all the water that's in the lake. The mind requires concentration, is meant for concentration, for focus, especially for anything you want to do. There are people who can't do anything because their minds are so, you know, splayed out. But especially when you want to concentrate on spiritual realization and your minds are wandering, mind is wandering to sense gratification. Then it's, you know, you just lost that energy. And you can really lose it, you know. Jayato Vishitam Pumsam Sangasteshu Jayate. Starts with meditation, then hi, how are you? And then one thing leads to another, and pretty soon you forgot all about Krishna. So sense gratification is the disease. Forget about Krishna and become simply interested in my own so-called enjoyment. And the materialists, you know, their minds are absorbed in sense gratification. They're convinced. They're hoping against hope that they're going to get some enjoyment out of material existence. They're chewing the chew again and again. Somehow or other, they're going to get something out of it. They're doing anything to try to enjoy it. And it's not working. And they're frustrated, and they're this, and they're that. The devotee has got the cure, but he should be careful. So it's a continual process to avoid these 10 offenses. Practice.
I would like to ask you about constant chanting.
About constant chanting.
Constant chanting, yes. Is it really like 24 hours?
Constant chanting is really 24 hours, practically speaking. Haridas Thakur, you know, where was the opportunity? Even sleeping was like hardly anything. The Goswamis, they would take an hour's rest, half hour's rest, an hour and a half. Reading, you know, a little buttermilk. Raghunath Das Goswami. Why? They were absorbed. So we can't imitate that. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna, I have sometime, when I was staying in the Brahmacharya Ashram in New York City, I woke up in the middle of the night, and everyone was chanting Hare Krishna in their sleep.
Really? And I woke up and people are completely asleep, but still, some of them are chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said that you chant Hare Krishna during the day, and at night you'll dream Hare Krishna. Talking about Krishna, that's also chanting Hare Krishna. Distributing books about Krishna, that's also Krishna Kirtan. Preaching about Krishna. Always chanting Hare Krishna. As soon as there's... Always chanting. Default mode. Always chanting. Mind should be so absorbed in Krishna that you're always chanting Hare Krishna, always thinking about Krishna, always got some Krishna subject matter. That's the present moment. We may not be at that stage. You know, we get some free time and we space out, or we start thinking, meditating on some sort of material enjoyment, or we start some sort of prajalpa in our mind, we start criticism, sadhu ninda in the mind. Even in the mind it's not good.
In the Prophet Maharaj, Prabhupada mentioned that the ISKCON is meant for creating an atmosphere in which people can take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Mm.
And then this creating an atmosphere, Bhaktivinoda Punamaraj also mentioned in his Sunday class that also like Maharaj Pariksit, when he was sitting down and listening to Shukadeva Goswami, he was sitting in a proper position and with special kusha grass in a special direction. So all these preparations were also there, creating a positive, favorable environment and atmosphere.
True. What's the thing that creates the most favorable environment for chanting Hare Krishna? Yeah. Specifically, what does that mean? Yeah, specifically association with devotees. Why is it favorable?
Because they're also chanting.
Because they're chanting Hare Krishna. The most favorable thing to create an atmosphere for chanting Hare Krishna is chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, people come into the temple, everybody's chanting Hare Krishna, what do? They chant Hare Krishna. You know, they may not be practiced, they may not be accustomed, but they come in the temple, everyone's chanting Hare Krishna, so they start chanting Hare Krishna. Or even someone comes up to them and puts beads in their hands and says, okay, now we're going to... Mm-hmm. Most valuable thing for chanting Hare Krishna is chanting Hare Krishna, and that's the association of devotees. Therefore, the beginning is to have a little interest. Next thing is sadhu sangha. When there's sadhu sangha, then the sadhus will be chanting Hare Krishna. The Narad Muni, they heard the sadhus were chanting Hare Krishna. They were chanting the glories of the Lord. He was hearing. He got a taste. You associate with the other people and you get the other kind of taste. Because it rubs off. Therefore, association management is so important. We associate with undesirables, our consciousness will become undesirable. And if we associate with devotees, especially advanced devotees, what are advanced? What makes a devotee advanced? It's always chanting Hare Krishna.
Someone who's got a lot of service in your temple, if he's constantly thinking about his service and how to do this and how to do that, so in free time, you know, he's thinking about, okay, I need to do that next, I need to do this, and how am I going to do it, how is that something going to get, is that okay, or...
Yeah, that's very good.
Stop that sort of administration and say, okay, forget, you know, put a blank on that and just chant Hare Krishna. Or is that also...
No, that's also chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada one time said Sri Maharaj was typing, and in the next room where Prabhupada was speaking. But I'm not stopping him because that is also a kirtan. I'm typing something, Krishna consciousness. So our service is also. But the service should be done in Krishna consciousness. With some feeling, some keeping Krishna in mind. Service is also done. And in practical terms, we're not Haridas Thakur. We're not going to sit down and chant you know, so many hours in a day. Two is big for us. You know, 16 rounds is maybe 2 hours.
Wow.
You know, so Prabhupada said, especially the Westerners, or these days almost anyone, you know, chanting 64 rounds is a big, big deal. It's like, how is it possible? But it is possible. But for us, therefore, we recommend it. Some deity worship, some preaching, some book distribution, some this, so many different engagements. So those engagements should also be done in the spirit of Krishna consciousness. And to the extent possible, while I'm doing those things, I can be chanting Hare Krishna. Now obviously, you know, you can't you know, talk to the bank manager about the status of your loan for the temple and at the same time be chanting Hare Krishna while you're talking. You know, there are physical limitations on what we can do. But the spirit should be to keep Krishna in mind, to be, you know, at least in our minds, chanting Hare Krishna, thinking about Krishna, acting for Krishna. That's also devotional service. It's not that, oh, I'm going to have to chant, I can't do anything. Prabhupada explained that devotional service is practical action for the service of the Lord. We read that in the beginning. It's practical activity. But it's not that on the plea of so much activity, I should give up chanting. Oh, I have so much engagement. No, I'm always, you know, this is as good as chanting. And then you don't chant, you know, here, there's no Bhagavatam class, there's no 16 rounds, there's no, you know, then that's also not good. Everything, all the things in our program are important. Something else. I'll let you go early if there are no questions. Yes?
There's another question from the last chapter. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was wondering about the title of a Goswami and Swami. What is actually the difference?
No difference. Title Goswami or Swami means the same thing. Swami implies Goswami. Go means senses. So Goswami means controller of the senses. And Swami means controller. So controller of what? Senses. So Swami or Goswami, it's the same thing. Sometimes Prabhupada gave the title Goswami to those who'd been householders, to Mahakrishna Goswami. But sometimes he also gave the title Swami to the former householders. So it's not that one is reserved for household, former householders or former brahmacharis. They're really interchangeable terms, Swami or Goswami. Actually, it's a particular title. There are, in the Sampradaya of the Shankarites, 10 names for sannyasis. And in the Vaishnav Sampradaya, 108. And there are different sannyas titles. Ban, Aranya, there's so many. So the one title is Swami, and that was Prabhupada's sannyas title. Therefore, his godbrothers sometimes speak of him Swami Maharaj, because his title is Swami. Prabhupada said that in his letterhead he didn't fix it up as Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, because it's, you know, doesn't, little redundant, or doesn't come off so well. But actually that's what it is. It's Swami such and such, and then the title. And Prabhupada's title as a sannyasi happens to be Swami. Someone else, it's something else.
Madhav.
Madhav, Aranya, Sridhar,
Puri,
Tirtha. There's so many. Think of Prabhupada's godbrothers, there's so many titles or so many. So those, therefore, it's not A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj. Sometimes we hear A.C. Bhaktivedanta Vishnupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj. It's technically not correct. Prabhupada's sannyas title is, of course he's a Goswami, but his sannyas title is Swami. Small point. Yes?
And then there's also mentioned that ISKCON is meant for Paramahamsas. And Paramahamsa could also be understood as one of the four stages of sannyas.
Everyone should become Paramahamsa. Everyone should become a Paramahamsa. it doesn't specifically mean by Varnashram only. Even our householders should be Goswamis. They should be in control. Otherwise, what are they? Godas. It's not, well, it's okay for me to be Godas because I'm a householder. They should also be in control of their senses.
Paramahansa refers to more like Vajanananda.
No. Paramahansa means highest stage of sannyas. Paramahansa Pariprajakacharya. Pariprajakacharya means, yeah. It's not that Paramahansa means that you give up preaching. Not at all. Paramahansa means that you give up sense gratification.